Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So I'll read the verse, and then we'll together chant the word for word. Sri Suka Uvacha Ata Kasya Chid Dvija Varasyangira Paravasya Shama Dhamma Tapa Svadhyaya Yadyayana Tyag Santosha Tiktikshaha Prasraya Vidyananusyatma Gyanandana Yukta Shyatma Sadrisha Shruta Silachar Rupa Paudharya Gunanava Sodharya Angaja Bahuvur Mitunam Cha Yavi Yashvayam Varyayam Yastu Tratra Pumangstang Parama Bhagavatam Rajarshi Pravaram Bharatam Utsrichta Mrigha Shariram Charama Sharirena Upravatvam Gatam Ahu. Responsibly, the word for word. Sri Suka Uvacha. Suka Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami continued to speak. Ata, thereafter. Kasyachit, of some. Dvijavarasya. Brahmana Angira Pravarya Rasya, who came in the dynasty of the great saint Angira, Shama, control of the mind, Dhamma, control of the senses, Tapaha, practice of austerities and penances, Svadhyaya, recitation of the Vedic literatures. Adhyayan, studying. Tyaga, renunciation. Santosha, satisfaction. Tatiksha, tolerance. Prasraya, very gentle. Vidya, knowledge. Anasuya, without envy. Atmagyanananda, satisfied in self-realization. Yuktasya, who was qualified with. Atmasadrisha, and exactly like himself. Shruta, in education. Shila, in a character. Achara, in behavior. Rupa, in beauty. Odarya, in magnanimity. Gunaha, possessing all these qualities. Navasa Udaryaha, 9 brothers born of the same womb. Angaja, sons. Bhabuvu, were born. Mityunam, a twin brother and sister. Cha, and Yavyasyam, in the youngest. Maryayam, wife. Ya, who? To, but. Tatra, there. Puman, the male child. Tam, him. Paramabhagavantam, the most exalted devotee. Rajarishi, of the saintly kings. Pravaram, most honored. Bharatam, Bharat Maharaj. Utsrishta, having given up. Mriga Shariram, the body of a deer. Charama Sharirena, with the last body. Vipratvam being a brahmana. Gatam obtained. Ahu they said. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after giving up the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj took birth in a very pure brahmana family. There was a brahmana who belonged to the dynasty of Angira. He was fully qualified with brahminical qualifications. He could control his mind and senses, and he had studied the Vedic literatures and other subsidiary literatures. He was expert in giving charity, and he was always satisfied, tolerant, very gentle, learned, and non-envious. He was self-realized and engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. He remained always in a trance. He had 9 equally qualified sons by his first wife, and by his second wife he begot twins, a brother and a sister, of which the male child was said to be the topmost devotee and foremost of saintly kings, Bharat Maharaj. This, then, is the story of the birth he took after giving up the body of a deer." Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee, but he did not attain success in one life. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a devotee who does not fulfill his devotional duties in one life is given the chance to be born in a fully qualified Brahmin family or a rich Kshatriya or Vaishya family. Suchi Nam Srinmatam Gehe, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, verse 41. Bharat Maharaj was the firstborn of Maharaj Rishabhdev in a rich Kshatriya family. But due to his willful negligence of his spiritual duties and his excessive attachment to an insignificant deer, he was obliged to take birth as the son of a deer. However, due to his strong position as a devotee, he was gifted with the remembrance of his past life. Being repentant, he remained in a solitary forest and always thought of Krishna. Then he was given the chance to take birth in a very good Brahmana family. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this verse, we see that Bharat Maharaj has taken his birth in the family of a brahmana. First, he was the son of Rishabhdev, and very opulent situation, but he was, due to being an advanced devotee, he was detached and he renounced his family. He went to the forest and he performed devotional service, tapasya, penances, and he was staying there alone. And then he became attached to a small deer. And Srila Prabhupada says that he neglected, willfully he neglected his spiritual practices. And he became attached to this insignificant deer. And when he died, he thought of the deer and he had to take birth as a deer. But due to his devotional service, due to his being a devotee of the Lord, he remembered his past life, even though he had the mriga sharira, or the body of a deer. And he kept himself fixed up next to persons that were performing devotional service. And in this way, he lived in a very solitary place, and he waited for his next death. And he took birth in the family of Brahmana, who was very, very qualified. So Srila Prabhupada quotes Suchinam Srinmatam Gehe, that the unsuccessful devotee takes his birth again in a family of Suchinam, or Brahmins, right? So that they can continue their practice of devotional service. The idea is that death, everyone has to experience. Birth, for one who has taken his birth, death is certain. Death is something that, well, people are not very familiar with, because unlike disease, disease comes and goes. You may even get diseased as a small child. You could get chicken pox or mumps, our fever. So it comes and goes. People are familiar with it. Old age is it's a continuing process. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says that at the age of 40 or 40, preliminary old age begins. And after 50, that's old age. Right? So from 40, 50, 60, 70, this old age is a continuing process where the body gradually dwindles, right? But then death is just a one-time affair, and we're not really so sure about what that is. We're unfamiliar with it. And people in general, they're afraid of death because of the unknown factor. What happens at the time of death, and where do I go? So the materialists, they have no answer for these questions, but they're in everyone's mind, right? There's two things that are for sure, they say, in this life, and that's death and taxes, right? Those you can count on. The death rate is 100%. Nobody escapes. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am death. In the form of time, Krishna, takes away our life. We understand from the Shastras that this life is meant to serve Krishna. But foolishly, the conditioned soul thinks that this life is meant to compete with Krishna, or to try to enjoy this Krishna's energy, the material world. And in this way, he ensures, with this mentality, that again he'll have to take his birth. So death is something that the devotees, the karmis, everybody has to deal with. So non-devotees will say, well, you devotees are speaking so many big, big things about philosophy, but you also have to die. We see that you also die. So what is the... why are you being so haughty? Right? But we understand from the acharyas that death for the devotee and death for the non-devotee are two different things. We see by this example that Bharat Maharaj, he's being guided, right? To the extent that even though he took birth as a deer, he could remember his past life. Just imagine being in the body of the deer and having full consciousness, knowing that in your last life you were the son of a powerful king and you were performing austerities and penances and doing devotional service in the forest. And due to your willful inattention or neglect of your practices, you had this deer's body. Just imagine. Srila Prabhupada explains that there is a difference, and he gives a nice example of a cat and its kitten, right? So the way the cat moves its kittens around is that she picks them up with her mouth by the back of their neck, right? And she moves them. Because the mother is always cautious that the kittens would not be, that they're always in a safe position. So she moves them, and that's how she moves them. She picks them up with her mouth. Right? But the kitten is thinking, this is my mother. The kitten is not disturbed at all that she's picked up by the mouth of her mother, the cat. But the cat also catches the rat by the neck, right? But the rat is thinking, this is death, right? It's screeching and hollering and trying to free itself to get away from its death, right? So, for the materialists, death comes like in the when the cat catches the rat. But for the devotee of the Lord, one who has practiced to chant about the Lord's pastimes, his beautiful form, wonderful name, they see death like the kitten. The kitten is thinking, oh, this is my mother. Oh, this is my Lord. He's come. Right? So only the devotee of the Lord can actually be fearless in the face of death. We see from the life of Dhruva Maharaj, when he left this world, the Vaikuntha plane came down, the swan plane, to take him back to Vaikuntha. And he stood up on the head of death and got into the Vaikuntha plane to go back to the spiritual world. So only the devotees of the Lord can actually be fearless in the face of death. Why? Because they're fully dependent on the Supreme Lord. However, even for the devotee that is not fully mature in devotional service, still we see that Krishna takes care. Right? Krishna places them in a situation where in their next life they can continue their devotional service. Generally, persons are very happy when the child is born. Right? Someone gets a nice son and they celebrate. Right? But Srila Prabhupada explains that as soon as one takes birth, their death is also fixed. So as soon as the child comes out from the womb, he's headed towards his next death. Right? People celebrate their birthdays. They have a cake. They call their friends. They get some presents. Happy birthday. Right? Happy birthday to you. They sing, right? But Srila Prabhupada says this is due to illusion. This is due to moha. Because what is the occasion of your birthday means that you're 1 year that much closer to your death day. Right? So we're not very much concerned about celebrating birthdays. Right? We're not celebrating the birthday of the spiritual master. We're worshiping Vyasadeva, the representative of Vyas. It's called Vyas Puja. Right? On the birthday of the spiritual master, we're worshiping the representative of Srila Vyasadeva. Right? So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, text number 24, Maharaj Parikshit asked two questions to Shukadeva Goswami. He asked that, what is the main duty of a person throughout his life? And especially, what is his duty at the time of death? When his death is imminent, what is his duty? So these two questions, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of that verse, are important, but especially the second question is important. Because it doesn't matter if you live for 5 years or you live for 100 years. Death is imminent. Srila Prabhupada explains that at least Maharaj Parikshit, he knew he had 7 days, right? But we're not even sure that we have 7 days. We don't even know if we have another 7 minutes. Right? So it behooves a person to always act in such a way that death is coming and I should do something, right? To prepare for that. Because if one is able to, whatever one thinks of at the time of death, that state will one will attain without fail. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavita. Now one might say, well, one definitely can say, and even King Kulashekar, he prayed like that in a very beautiful prayer from Mukundamala Stotra. Actually, Prabhupada would sing that that prayer by Kulashekar, and he even recorded it on the first Hare Krishna record. He recorded that prayer. So I don't have it memorized, but I have it here in this verse book. It's such a nice prayer. Srila Prabhupada's servants used to say that many times during the day they would find him chanting that prayer. You know, he would be doing something and he would be chanting this prayer by King Kulashekar. So I thought we'd just chant that prayer in the same tune that Srila Prabhupada chants in the record. Krishna tvadiya parapangaja pancharantam atyaiva me vishatu manasaraja hangsa prana prayana samaye kafavata pitai kanta virodana vido smaranam kutaste. Translation. My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked up in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? So King Kulashekar is praying to let me go right now while I'm in good health, so that I'll be able to think of you. He's worried that at the time of death, the bodily situation is so disturbed. Right? It's described that the jvara, the fire in the body, it goes up very high, 107 temperature. Right? And then immediately the temperature goes to zero. And the throat becomes choked up with mucus. Right? So it's very difficult to even say anything. The pain of death is described. I mean, some places it says 10,000 scorpions, like being bitten by 10,000 scorpions. Some places it says 40,000 scorpions, right? But it's painful. Death is painful. So how will one be able to think of Krishna at the time of death, right? In such a disturbed condition? Well, it's only possible by the mercy of Krishna. It's not something that's within our power, right? Daivihesha gunamayi mamamaya duratya. That this material nature is very difficult to overcome. The body leaving this world is part of the material nature. It's something that happens, right? In time, everything deteriorates. Of course, there's nothing to lament. It's natural. In America, at the end of summer, when the fall begins, you know, everything is green in the northern hemisphere due to it being summer. But then as soon as, say, the first part of October comes, all the leaves change, right? They're no longer green. They start to turn various colors, red, yellow, and the forest, it looks like a fire. Green turns to all these bright orange. But that doesn't last long. As the cold begins to set in, and by the time the first frost comes, all the leaves are brown and they have fallen off the trees. So if you go to the northern hemisphere during the winter, you don't see anything green. And the trees all look like they're dead. Right? In India, the leaves fall off the trees, you know, but because it's a subtropical climate, they grow back right away, so you don't notice it so much. Like this banyan tree out in the front of our temple, twice a year all the leaves fall off, but nobody really notices it much because they grow back right away. Right? But that's not the situation there. They fall off in October, and then there's November and December, and Jan, and Feb, and March. It all looks dead. Nothing's green, you know? And then in spring, the little shoots, the little buds that come out on the tree, and everything becomes green. But this is the nature. There's nothing to lament that the leaves are falling off the tree. They're going to come back again. Right? In the same way, there's nothing to lament that the soul is leaving the body. That's the nature. That's the nature of how things work. We're bound to leave this material body. Right? So for the devotee of the Lord, they understand that this is the energy of Krishna that is working. And therefore, they don't become bewildered. Dearest Tatra Namuyati, they see that everything is the energy of Krishna and the arrangement of Krishna. And they absorb themselves in Krishna. One can face death fearlessly by practicing in this life to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. One who's practiced to seriously chant the name of Krishna, they won't have a problem with death. And even if the body does choke up, and even if the mucus chokes up the throat, Krishna's there to help that devotee. Right? Because Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. Krishna protects his devotees in all the different situations, and especially at death. Right? There's been so many Prabhupada disciples who have left their bodies, right? And more will be going. That's the nature. But many of them, we see they're in a very blissful mood. It's like, I remember this one devotee, his name was Grihila. And I met him a few weeks before he passed away. And even though his body was in a very deplorable condition, he had cancer, his legs were swollen, we were talking about Krishna, and he was very blissful. He said he had a picture of Krishna Balaram opposite his bed on the wall. And he put his arms out and he said, Krishna Balaram, take me, I'm ready to go. And a few weeks later he passed away. So this is the practical application of devotional service. And from this chapter, we should be forewarned to not willfully neglect our devotional practices. We should be careful in the execution of devotional service. We should chant our prescribed number of rounds attentively. Right? There's so many different types of japa, right? I met a god brother in Mayapur, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And it was just after Mangalartik I met him. So we got to talking and about this and that, and the time just went. All the japa time was gone. So I commented, I said, you know, Prabhupada used to go on the morning walk, but we went on the morning talk. So imperceptibly, if we're not careful, the time that we have in this rare human form of life imperceptibly can be carried away, right? Without us focusing on what our real important duty is, right? As Maharaj Parikshit was asking, what's our duty, especially at the time of death? And Srila Prabhupada has pointed out, it's to hear the holy name of Krishna. So, practically speaking, this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto to the 12th canto, is the answer to Maharaj Parikshit's question, what is my duty, especially at the time of death? The whole Srimad Bhagavatam, it's dealing with this. How important, then, is this question? And how important, then, are our devotional practices? Because they're meant to solve the real problem of life. And that is that for one who has taken his birth, even though the body is superfluous to the living entity, the living entity has no connection. He's eternal. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death. Nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. But the soul, due to identifying with the material body as the self, suffers. Suffers this concept of death. The soul is eternal, just as Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is eternal. And therefore, the desire of the soul is to live eternally, forever. That's our nature. Sat Chit Ananda. But due to the identification in the material body, we have to experience death. And the more the living entity is absorbed in the body and sense gratification, the more fearful One is of impending death. So becoming very, like Bharat Maharaj, very intent on devotional practices, and not like Bharat Maharaj, willfully neglecting those devotional practices. Otherwise, we're completely missing the point. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the introduction to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion, that thinking of Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna, is the basic principle of devotional service. And many times we're missing the point because we have various engagements, right? But all of those engagements are meant to facilitate, to support, to encourage, and enliven the basic principle, and that is to always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. If by whatever we're doing, we're thinking of Krishna more and more, that is supporting the goal. If it's taking us somewhere else, what does Rupa Goswami say? Reject it. If it helps us think of Krishna, accept it. If it doesn't help us think of Krishna, we should reject it. All of our activities are meant to think of Krishna. We come before the Lord at Mangal Arati, right? Early in the morning. And what's the first thing? We worship Krishna. We chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We chant japa together, right? And why we chant together? So that we become encouraged to fix our mind on Krishna. And then we worship the spiritual master, and we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, all to become focused on Krishna. All to be practiced. So at the time of death, we don't think of anything else. We only think of Krishna. Right? And sometimes we might become discouraged because it's not an easy thing to keep the mind fixed on Krishna. The mind wanders here and there due to the fact that it's for so long been out of control. And now we are saying, no, you come under control, my dear mind. But the mind rejects. The mind rejects. Therefore, one has to control the mind. The mind is also the energy of Krishna. And if we fix our mind on Krishna, then it will come under control. It won't suggest sense gratification. And if it does, if our mind is fixed on Krishna, our intelligence steps in and rejects the suggestions of sense gratification. So these are some of the practical things that we can learn from this pastime of Bharat Maharaj. Now he's opening up a new chapter, right? He's in the family of a Brahmana, very good Brahmana, right? Who has all the good brahminical qualities. So Bharat Maharaj has taken his birth in this Brahmin's family. And this story will, this chapter of the Bhagavatam will explain how he proceeded in that life. Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, try to finish up your business in this lifetime. One time I asked a devotee, so you're trying to go back in this lifetime? He said, are you kidding me? I'm just trying to get to the heavenly planets. So we shouldn't be like that, right? Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if you're in school, college, and you're trying to get, you know, trying to get A's, you shoot for an A, best you can do. Well, you might get B's. If you shoot for C's just enough to pass, certainly you'll get an F. Right? So Prabhupada said we should shoot for the rhinoceros. Go for the big one. A rhinoceros? Very dangerous, fearsome animal, big. So if you're going to go hunting, don't hunt for bunny rabbits. Go for the rhinoceros, right? If you get it, everyone will glorify that, oh, such a wonderful thing. And if you don't make it, that's, well, it was a big task, people will say. So go for the rhinoceros. Go for broke. Go far going back home, back to Godhead, right? Back to Godhead, back to home, back to the spiritual world. That should be our goal. There's nothing here in this material world worth having. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the 14 planetary systems, there's nothing to be had here. Right? Even in devotional service, sometimes we become bewildered and think that there's some post to be had or some glory that's to be had from doing devotional service. It's all missing the point. Right? Even if you do something wonderful in devotional service, you know, everybody, tali bajata hai, and that's it. Why should we become bewildered by a few moments of glory for something? Right? I forget, there was some big writer, maybe it was Mark Twain, he said that every man, you know, is looking for that 15 minutes of glory in his life. Right? But then what? One works so hard, right, and gets some little recognition. But if one doesn't think of Krishna, if one doesn't surrender to Krishna, we miss the point. So let us become determined as we go through these verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, and we see how Jad Bharat kept himself fixed up in meditating on Krishna. He never let his mind go here and there. Even though so many things happened to him, he kept his mind fixed on Krishna and didn't let it take him anywhere else. Our minds are so rascal, they take us anywhere else but to Krishna. All over the universe. As soon as we begin to chant our rounds in the morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The mind takes us to the past. It takes us to the future. It takes us back home. It takes us here and there. So many different places. Any place it wants to take us, but to the name. Don't think of the name. You can think about this. And you can think about that, the mind suggests. But just as Jad Bharat, because he realized what happened. He had to take birth as a deer, right? He didn't allow his mind to go to any other place. So we can practice. It's not an easy thing, right? But the yogi does that. He brings his mind back to from wherever it wanders, back to the holy name of Krishna. And if we practice like that, then certainly, right, we'll be able to think of Krishna at the time of death. And we can confidently know that Krishna will protect us even at the time of death. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? You want to get the microphone?
Hare Krishna. That two conditions must prevail at the time of death of a devotee, that the remembrance of Krishna and absence of any materialistic desire. Right?
Right.
So, in case there is some hidden materialistic desire which even devotee is not consciously aware that I am holding on to such a secret desire, then what happens? He remembers Krishna, but at the same time having some secret desire of material achievement.
Heavenly planets.
Okay, thank you.
When Dhruva Maharaj was going out to Vaikuntha, he was sitting on the swan plane and leaving. And as he was going off to Vaikuntha, there were all the heavenly planets. He was seeing them, one by one, going by. So he wasn't attracted by anything. He was only attracted by Krishna. But if we have some hidden agenda, if we have some material desire, then someplace other than Vaikuntha, we'll think, oh, that's a nice place. You know, like people go to Hawaii and there's beaches and the weather's always nice and it's not like Bombay, always hot. And, right? So they think, oh, Hawaii, nice place. Right? You get off. No more ticket. So we don't want to go to the heavenly planets. We want to go back home, back to Godhead. And yes, material desires are there within our hearts, no doubt. But the holy name is also very powerful. It can vanquish those material desires. Just like the thunderbolt of Indra can smash a mountain. So in the Bhagavatam to describe that in our hearts there's a mountain of material desires. But the holy name is just, and the lotus feet of the Lord are just like a thunderbolt that can crack to pieces that mountain of material desires.
Yeah, it was a wonderful class. Thank you very much. Prabhu, the question I had was, Bharat Maharaj has been described in different ways in different purposes. In one place, Srila Prabhupada even mentions him, he was considered as a neophyte because he was thinking of a deer at the time of death. And here also it's mentioned he willfully
neglected.
So how do we understand his position? And also when we say neophyte, because our position is we are trying to be devotees and trying to come out of neophyte situation. So how do we understand this?
Well, you can say that anyone who's not developed prema, love of God, they're still going towards the goal. Prema pumarta mohan, right? Unless we've reached that love, we're still, you know, we're going that way. We have something to accomplish, to gain, right? So, the devotee is always careful. Maya is very strong. We should never underestimate the power of Maya. Srila Prabhupada explains that Maya is very, very, very strong. And unless you become very sincere, she will defeat you. Chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada explains, is like declaring war on Maya. Right? So our enemy is very formidable and powerful. And we're weak. We're an easy target. But if we keep ourselves like a small child, if a small child goes out in the street when the traffic is there, he's in a very dangerous position. But Srila Prabhupada explains, if he grabs hold of his father's hand, then he can be safe. Right? He can confidently cross the street. Why? Because he's with his father. Right? So in the same way, we catch hold of the feet of the spiritual master. Right? And then we can be confident. Right? But that catching hold of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, the previous acharyas, we don't take help from just one place, Prabhupada said. We take mercy from wherever we can get it. We pray to the six Goswamis. We pray to Srila Prabhupada. We pray to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and all the various previous acharyas. We take the help, knowing our weak and vulnerable position. We cry out to them, right? So that we can be confident, like the child with his father, in crossing over this ocean of birth and death.
Hare Krishna. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quoted that sloka, Suchinang Simantang Gehe Joga Prashta Vijayate. But we practically see, in your moment, the devotees who join, they are neither from Suchi family or Simantang family. And other hand, if you will consider that in Bhagavad Gita...
How can you say that? Do you know all the devotees' families?
No, means most of the devotees, not the all devotees, they are from Suchi family.
Did you take a survey?
No.
Huh? Did you do a survey?
Pardon?
Did you do a survey? What kind of family did you come from? Then go to the next devotee. What kind of family did you come from? What kind of family did you come from?
No, mostly means those we observe.
Well, I don't know how you can say mostly. You know, it's unless you did a detailed survey, how would you know that? What kind of a family somebody came from?
Not the all devotees, they are from Suchi and...
You know, Srila Prabhupada, he explained right at the very end, you know, he was just about getting ready to leave this world. And he said, I'm not leaving like my spiritual master who was frustrated with his disciples. He said, it's not like that. I'm all very happy with you. You've done so much to spread Krishna consciousness. You're all very nice. And I can understand your mothers and fathers are also very nice because you're very nice. Right? So you can't really say, you know, what kind of family people have come from. If they've taken to devotional service, they must be coming from a good family. Right? And Suchinam today in Kali Yuga means, you know, the demons take birth in the family of the Brahmins. Right? So that you cannot say. Something that they got from their family situation that helped them come to the choice of taking the Krishna consciousness. You know?
But another aspect that Lord says, Bahunang Janmanang Ante Jnanavan Mang Prapadyante. After cultivating the knowledge, by so many worth one can surrender. At the lotus feet of Lord.
Yes.
So yes. That is the option. May not be Suchi or Simata family.
Usually, if a person takes to devotional service, it's because they did some devotional service in their last life. But not necessarily, but usually it's like that. And we see that some devotees come and they very quickly take up to the process. Right? It doesn't mean that they'll stick to the process, but they come and take up the process. But there was this one devotee, his name was Jai Sachinandan. And he came to India, and he learned Bengali just like that. In fact, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was from New York. But he's the one that did all the, you know, Bengali editing for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jai Sachinandan. And he had a voice just like a Gandharva. And his Bengali was such that if you just listened to a tape, Bengali people couldn't understand that this wasn't a Bengali. And Srila Prabhupada said he was a Bengali in his last life. So we don't know where, how the devotees, what they did in their last life, right? But that's not so much our concern. Our concern is now that we do have this human form of life, Durlava Manava Janma, what are we going to do now? And just like Bharat Maharaj was performing, you know, serious devotional service, we shouldn't neglect our devotional practices, but we should be sincere about them so that we get to the ultimate goal, of going back home, back to Godhead. Why should we become lax? Yes, Krishna will protect us. If a devotee falls down from devotional service, then in the next birth, he may take birth in Vrindavan, but as a dog or a pig or a monkey. And I saw when I first went to Vrindavan in 1974, the first time I ever went there, there weren't so many monkeys. But today there's a lot of monkeys in Vrindavan. So sometimes I wonder, where do all these monkeys come from, you know? And Srila Prabhupada said that they take birth, they are devotees in their last life, but they neglected their devotional practices, and so they take birth in Vrindavan as a pig or a dog or a monkey. And then that's their last birth. After that, they go back home, back to Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada said it's not a very, it's not a very glorious thing to go back to Godhead from the body of a pig. Better you finish up your business in this life, he said, and go back home, back to Godhead. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay, last question.
I have a touring job and twice or thrice in a month I have to go out of Mumbai. I find that when I go out, my job is affected, and when I come back, for some time, 2 or 3 days or until I start coming to Mangalarti, it remains so. How can I make my job constant?
Don't go out. Then stay here.
Please find me a place here in Vaikunth.
All Srila Prabhupada's temples are like Vaikuntha because Krishna's in the center. So naturally, it's a dham. What does a dham mean? Dham means where Krishna stays, where he is served by the devotees. So therefore, certainly in the temple, there's a potency. There's a spiritual potency because Krishna is in the center. So for some purpose, we may have not be able to live in the temple, right? But we should aspire for that so that our devotional service will be very, very steady. And it's an opportunity also when you go out, right? We all don't stay in the temple all the time. Devotees go out on book distribution. They go out and travel in the van with great difficulties. Where to park, where to bathe, where to get water. The police are trying to throw you out. The shopkeeper's trying to throw you out. So many difficulties. Right? So in the face of these difficulties, if we still try to hear very nicely, you know, not that, okay, I stopped chanting my rounds because there were so many difficulties. No. But in the face of so many difficulties, if we still try to hear, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. By that endeavor, by that sincere effort, we'll make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So it's an opportunity. It's a challenge to try to hear, even if you're in some different circumstance. Okay, one more.
Like in case of this Bharat Maharaj, although he did so much of devotional service, but one small impurity which like became the cause of his future. So then, is that you have 99.9% like done your job, but still because of some small thing, it appears very kind of cruel or kind of...
Well, it's not cruel. It's just the way life is. It's not a matter of cruelty. You got to be 100%, Prabhupada said. If you have 99% material desires, you have 1% Krishna consciousness. If you have 99% Krishna consciousness, you have 1% material desires. It's like on a scale. You know, desires are weighing more, you know, in the Krishna consciousness, right? So we want to have 10% attachment for Krishna. But it's our particular situation, right? It's not that we can blame Krishna. He's very cruel. It's our own, what do you call, inadequacies. Our own conditioning for so many lifetimes that we're not 100% surrendered to Krishna. But at the same time, we should know that Krishna is merciful, but Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful. So we have a very powerful ally. And even though we have so many material desires, Srila Prabhupada said that if you try to spread the Sankirtan movement, if you give your life to preaching, if you try to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, then even if we have some residual material desires, Lord Chaitanya will personally come down and take us back to Godhead. So we should always remember that. The Panchatattva, they are extremely magnificent, magnanimous. Magnanimity was one of the qualities of the Brahman, right? Very magnanimous. They didn't consider who was a fit candidate and who was not a fit candidate. They simply gave love of Godhead. So they broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed its contents freely, giving out love of God. Krishna said, you surrender, but they didn't consider. So certainly if we dedicate ourselves to propagating their movement, and trying to spread their movement, assist Srila Prabhupada in spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement, won't they be merciful? Won't they help us? Yes, we're struggling with our past conditioning, undoubtedly. But we should also be confident that Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful, and somehow or another, He'll have mercy. Right. Yoga, shivam, baham, yaham. I carry what they, preserve what they have, and carry what they lack. Okay, thank you very much. Kantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.